Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio program. I'm Susan Laris and Dan, and I am just so happy to welcome you here on what for me, because I know many of you are listening in the future at some time, for me is a Monday morning just filled with the potential of fall. There just is something about this time of year, I feel, where we just feel that sense of inspiration, I think. And it's this way in the spring as well. Every season carries a kind of inspiration with it. But I'm really feeling inspired today and thinking about all the new things that I'm entering into and expanded things. So welcome here today. Today, I am really very happy to be bringing back to the show someone, I think it's been over a year at least since she's been on, and her name is Reverend Christine Green. Christine is local here in my area, in Portland, Oregon, although her message reaches far beyond this area. She is the founder of Sacred Heart Ministries, and she has been a teacher and a counselor for over 20 years. Christine, her book, Authentic Spirituality, or one of her books, Authentic Spirituality, A Woman's Guide to Living an Empowered Life, I feel will be a nice start for us today, along with her blog, which is really quite insightful. She's like me. We don't always get out there to update it all the time, but she has a number of things out there. She's had beautiful interviews in this local area, like on AM Northwest, which is our local television show here on ABC in the morning. And Christine, in her life, she has shared so much on caregiving. She also has a book on caregiving, and I believe the image of that book is up on our page as well. She's worked in women's issues. She has served in leadership roles in New Thought Ministries in California and Oregon. She has quite a background in religious studies, a master's, and she also combines that with a background in business and in education. So she's another multifaceted soul that so many of us bring so many different things to our work. And Christine is very much that way. And every part of what she brings has tremendous value. She has such compassion. She helps so many people help to find their authenticity. I feel that she has assisted me just through her work, through her writings, through her presence. She does retreats. She has a retreat coming up here in Oregon. She regularly does women's retreats, and we'll be talking about that. And we just, I'm just so happy to have her here. I will note her website, and I think there are multiple ways to get there. The way I have it noted is sacredheartministries.net, and she may advise me there are other ways as well, but I know that'll get you there, where you can learn all about what Christine is up to, and that's up on the show page. Those of you listening live, I have not yet gotten the chat up, and I'm thinking we have a new interface here. And I'm just a little hesitant to bring it up while the show is ongoing. So I think we will not have a chat today, but I do invite you, if you really would like to talk with us, please don't hesitate to call the call-in number, because you can easily call in at 310-807-5191. 404 and ask a question and talk with us today. So I welcome that as well. So in just a moment here, as soon as I can manage to work through the technical aspects of it, I'm going to bring Christine here on the line. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you, Susan. That was one of the best introductions I've ever had. Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you. I find I have so many guests that come on this show that are just compassionate souls doing so much, and I can't even read the paper anymore, Christine. You know, I always have, of course, a sheet in front of me to help, just like all radio hosts do, and I find I can't read it. I just can't. I just want to talk from my heart, and that's how I feel about what you're doing in the world. It's just it's heart-based, and you're just doing so much. And thank you for that, and thank you for coming back on the show. I'm just so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Susan. It's perfect on this first day of fall. There's always something about a start of something new, that there's newness in the air.
Yes,
so I agree
with
you. There's something new that's happening today, and it's so perfect that we're able to get together and talk about that.
Yes. Well, and you know, and I've actually shared this with my show audience to some degree. I mean, we all have just, you know, so many things going on in our life. Some of them can be challenges that we're working through. Some of them are just wonderful things that we're doing in combination. I've had such an odd summer, some people know that I had a water leak in my yard for quite a while, and just odd things that happened this summer. And yet now that the fall is here, it seems like a lot of blockages are clearing away, and almost magically doors are opening up, and I'm feeling that potential. And I hope the audience is feeling that too. And maybe my first question for you, Christine, it's kind of about that. It's, you know, I think even I'm still working through, you know, thinking, you know, these are things I need to clear. These are dependencies. These are things that, you know, don't serve me anymore. Or yeah, I'm feeling that in the fall now. And I wonder if you could speak to that, because it just seems it's something we all face all the time.
Well, I love what you said, how things seem to magically disappear or magically change. And
mm-hmm.
There's no magic about it, because what happens is you've been working in consciousness. And I'll speak to you, and I know that's true of your audience, is
yes.
that you attract people who are working on their consciousness and their awareness. And so everything that we do is helping to raise us up. It's helping
yes.
to lift us out of the past, the old limitations. And so whatever practice we have, whether it's awareness, whether it's meditation, whether you do some kind of prayer practice or spiritual exercises to change your thinking, it's all of that is helping. And so it looks like suddenly something magical happens, but in truth, you've been setting the stage and creating the foundation so that this newness can come forth.
Yes.
And the biggest thing with that is when we give up attachment.
Yes.
As you're willing to do this work, and as you're deepening in your own consciousness and working on this, the more we can give up attachment, the easier that newness can come in.
Oh, that is so relevant. And, you know, I don't mind at all talking about my life, too, because it reflects, I know, what's going on out there. That's part of this wonderful journey, is that we're all on similar paths. For me, and this is so interesting, this fall, I'm really thinking, you know, it's almost where I see dependencies. It's like I need to, you know, this needs to clear. And I can just feel, you know, my intent being said even more powerfully. It seems like a lot of us, especially as women, we can become dependent in ways that are not healthy. And I'm sure this can happen to men too. But I'm really looking at that and seeing my way to even more empowerment, and actually walking that path of empowerment, even where I see I'm clearing dependency,
seeing myself as empowered. And I wonder if you could speak to that, because it just seems so much the message of your work as well, how we do work through these dependencies and codependencies we may have in our lives.
Great topic and segue, because what happens is that the reason we have dependency is usually that there's a belief in unworthiness. Mm-hmm. That I'm not enough, that I can't do this on my own. So we have this belief that of that I'm not enough, so I'm dependent on someone else for my decisions. I'm dependent on someone else to help me or to give me something that I need. And in reality, what we're doing on the spiritual path is we're learning to establish a foundation in our own awareness with our own higher self, whatever you call that, your spirit, your soul, the universal presence, that as you are able to have that awareness with your inner self, your higher self, and know that there is so much available, once you have that awareness, there's so much available to us that we can let go of this belief in unworthiness and know that we're connected to something higher, to something greater.
Yes, yes.
And then in that, we're able to give up the attachment or the dependency where I have to have this happen this way or it has to look like this. And the sooner we can do that, the sooner our higher wisdom self can have something new come in to be revealed.
Yes. Yes, and I so feel that process, and I know that many, many others out there can probably share in this. And, you know, when you talk about how sometimes we have to envision things a different way, it seems like we hold on to things. I have, for example, a house that I have hung on to. I think you and I can maybe relate to some degree, and many out there can relate. And I'm starting to realize, I'm watching myself release it more and more, that just thinking, well, you know, I don't necessarily need to support this house. You know, there are things that we can clear away that we don't necessarily need, even though we might love it or we may think we needed it, but there's always something new coming beyond that.
Isn't it a tremendous walk in faith? Because
yes,
that's exactly what it is. It's faith that there's something new that will replace it. Faith that there's something new that can come in. And a house is a perfect example. And you and I have shared, you know my story as well, is I lost my husband. It'll be 4 years ago, October 1st. And
yes,
I was in our home that I was struggling to maintain, and I was afraid to leave because I had a sense of security there. I had an attachment to that was our home. That was what we built together. If I leave that, somehow I'm leaving him. Somehow I'm letting go of him. I'm forgetting about him. And what would it be like? What's on the other side? And so it was a long on-ramp for me to be able to release and see, after trying everything I could to stay in it, and nothing would work to stay in it. It was like I finally got the message, you know, maybe there's something else. And I was able to sell it and to move on, and I live in a beautiful apartment. I have the freedom of no longer maintaining a house. I don't have the yard work anymore or the trees. There were a lot of trees on the property, which trees demand a lot of care and attention if you want to be vigilant and take care of your property.
Oh, I know this well. Yes.
Yes, you know.
I have a lot of trees in my yard. I completely know. And yes, and that it's not easy. They're rather not being taken care of very well at the moment, let me tell you.
And
yes,
you know, and I don't remember if I shared this with you. Here's the most wonderful thing is when I was finally able to release it, when I was finally able to let go, I received Now, when you go through the selling process, you don't usually know very much about the person that's buying it. You know a little bit,
yes.
but you it's created so that you don't meet them, you don't connect with them. And the day of the closing, I received a text message, and the new buyer had my number because of somehow getting in touch with my realtor. She had my phone number. The day of the closing, she sent me a text message, and she said, "I want to thank you for letting me buy your house. I have a 9-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son, and we love this home, and we are going to take very good care of it. Thank you
so much. That's so wonderful.
And
see,
to me, that was a message from the universe that I did the right thing. And the home that I lived in would be perfect for children. It had a great yard and a great deck. And I was by myself. And I could just see, and there were children in the neighborhood. It's a great family-oriented neighborhood. And so, see, the house needed a new life as well. And I needed a new life and a new start, a new chapter in my life. And so we both got it. And out of my freedom, so much more was given.
Yes. Oh, I love that. See, you know, look at how the universe gives us confirmations. Because I know that in your book, you have a chapter about doubt, for example. And we can have doubts even after we've made a choice. Although often you'll really feel that you've made the right choice. But at the same time, the universe or God or spirit, I love also how you speak in, we both do this. I feel this is such a multi-faith broadcast. Because I see God and our higher selves and all of that in so many ways. And your work is so much that way. But I was going to say that we get just showered with love, essentially. In fact, I'll bring love into the equation here from God or spirit or the universe. And when we just feel, I mean, that was a loving thing to happen. For you to be able to be given that insight into who was going to have your house. That, to me, is all about living as love, which actually is the topic of today's show, because it's all about love, because you could release your house in love to these people and fully release it because the love was fully enabled in your heart at that point.
And that was my prayer, that I would attract a loving buyer who absolutely was thrilled to have this home.
Yes. Yes.
And that's exactly what happened, is that this family now who just, it wasn't just another house for them, but that it was someplace that they could come and they could feel all the love that was given.
Yes.
And that's the other thing I wanted to mention, is in the letting go process, that those moments of sadness, of letting go, and it was one of the last days that I asked a friend to come over and to pray with me in the house and to do a final prayer of thanksgiving. And it was that revelation that my house was about all the love that was shared, but the love that was shared is not limited to those boundaries. That the love is within me, and I take that love wherever I go. And it wasn't the house that created the love. It was the friends. It was the experience. It was my willingness to give. And that actually turned into one of the my blog posts that I wrote about that, is that that's what happened was I got to see that love was everywhere. It wasn't limited to the walls of my house. The love was within me. And it didn't mean that I was going to leave my husband or forget the wonderful life that I lived with my husband, because he's always with me.
Yes, yes.
And so that's the gift that we have.
I love how, you know, in a way your house represented, you know, you're thinking that being attached to his energy in that house or his presence in the past by releasing the house, you realized even more just how much he was with you, I sense. And I know there are listeners out there, especially during the day, there may be people listening live right now who are either in a challenging caregiving situation or they have lost a loved one like you did, and maybe they're in a similar situation. I don't think your situation is necessarily that unusual where you're in that house in such a way. It almost happened to my own mother, although they actually let go of their original house, and, you know, she's in another place. And so I think it happens quite a bit, actually, and I think your story, it's representative of many other types of stories, too, but that specific situation, I sense, is fairly common. And look at how you just, of course, you bring his love and his energy with you everywhere.
Yes, because there, that once a person moves on, that they're in that eternal presence of love. And they're not, we're so used to time and space. We live in the boundary being on the planet of time and space. So it's hard to think beyond that. But our loved ones are now exist in an eternal presence that has no boundaries, that has no limit. There is no place where God is not. Now they're in the presence of that love that is God. There is no place where love is not. So now we know that we carry that with us. And if you don't mind, if I can just do a little plug, I have a teleconference class coming up, and this is exactly the topic we're going to talk about, because that we're afraid of the process of dying and talking about it, but if we could understand what's on the other side, and what, not just what's on the other side, but what the message is from the other side, we're going to be talking about Anita Morjani's book, Dying to Be Me.
Oh, yes.
And that, yes, and the message that she brought back,
mm-hmm,
it's not
mm-hmm.
about the pain and suffering. I was talking to a friend recently, and she says, you know, I just couldn't read that book. It was all about her illness. And I went, no, you needed to get past the first half of the book. She needed to explain her illness so she could explain the awareness that she got from the other side. She had to explain why she believed what she believed and why the things happened the way they did, because the revelation that she had of coming back and she was healed of cancer, but the power is in the message, and the power in the message is that love, the importance of loving ourselves. And having that authentic love that I love myself right where I am. Not that I'm comparing myself to somebody else and how they are. Not that I'm comparing myself to what my income is or to what my marital status is or to whether I live in a home or apartment. That we are able to move past all those labels that we create to come to the place that I love myself just as I am.
Yes, that is so, so important. And, you know, the strangest thing, I have to report this, and I say this in a non-ego way, but the minute we started talking about love in such a powerful way, the show popped right onto the front page of Blog Talk Radio.
Oh!
And it's sitting out there right now. There's only 8 shows at any one time of all categories. On the front page for live Blog Talk Radio. And this show does, I am very thankful, often end up there. But it just popped right there. The minute we talked, I mean, you must have, it was so beautifully timed. And I'm just
now,
like,
see,
I'm watching this.
I want to go back to what we...
to us. We need to, now that it's out there, we may need to revisit a little bit. I want to just say, for those of you joining this show, now that it's out there, because I know some of you are now jumping into the broadcast, I am talking with Christine Green. She's the founder of Sacred Heart Ministries and the author of Authentic Spirituality, A Woman's Guide to Living an Empowered Life. And she is a very inspired, compassionate soul. And we're talking about living living authentically and in an empowered way. So please continue, Christine, but I did want to reintroduce you to the expanded audience.
So I wanted to go back and talk about what you said about magic.
Yes.
Because that's what feels like magic, is that when we can be in that pure experience of love, that things happen that are beyond our imagination. Things can happen instantly that look like magic.
Yes.
And so that's how we feel the magic, is that because we've had the intention, we've had the attention and the intention, we've built the consciousness, we created the foundation. And so now when we claim ourselves, we claim that presence of love, we claim that presence for ourselves and see that around us, that then things begin to happen that seem to be unexplainable, that seem to be magical, that seem to be something that we were trying to work on, or someone you want to hear from and they suddenly call, a project you've been trying to finish and suddenly pieces come together. All these things seem like magic, but what it was that surrender into love.
Yes, that is love key. And you know, if we could, it seems like more and more coming up for me, you know, when we talk about the worthiness issues that we discussed earlier at the beginning of the show, loving ourselves, you know, Christine, we are taught that that's narcissistic, that's selfish. We have so many ways of misunderstanding what that actually means to love ourselves. How do we become truly comfortable loving ourselves? And how do we define that in the God-based way, in the expansive way that I believe we're supposed to understand it?
Wow. How many hours do we have? Here's the most basic way that I could begin, and this is what I focused on in the book, because this is what I saw with all the clients that I had over 20 years of counseling, is that it's managing our self-talk, because that self-talk is based on old past experiences and old ways of thinking. And when we have that self-talk, that's what we think is true.
Yeah.
And so we believe it. So when we say, oh, that was a stupid thing to say, or that I should never have done that, and that's never going to work. So instead of believing that voice, is one way to work with it is to see it outside of ourselves. Psychology calls it externalizing. So it's an external voice. It's not my voice. It's an external voice. So if it's an external voice, am I going to listen to that? Would you listen if somebody came up to you and said, oh, Susan, you're never going to make this work. Why do you think you're going to do this? We would probably look at them and say, who made you the boss of me?
Well, I'll tell you, let me say, sadly, Christine, far too often we do listen to those people, you know, the critics. And
yes.
I sense that it's because we don't love ourselves enough is the key. But you're right. I mean, once we feel worthy, we stop listening to those voices. But I think there are those out there, and I'm raising my hand because I've been one. You know, we listen to those voices. We even hear them from the past, how they echo in our head, those who have maybe criticized or discouraged us. And I sense your message here is we have to release those and say, of course, we're not going to listen to those voices. But some of us are listening at times. We certainly know that we are.
Well, and here's the best way to do that is am I going to listen to that, or what is a more empowered voice that I want to give myself?
Yes.
What am I going to say? Because you can say, I'm not going to listen to that, or you can deny that, but that's just suppressing it. But what
yes.
you want to do is bring it to the surface. And that's the deeper work that I do in counseling, is helping people bring it to the surface. Why do I have this voice? What am I believing about myself? And where did that come from? And once we can find that, then we can begin to release it. Because that's really not the truth. It was based on an experience from the past that wasn't true. It was
yes.
that we made a decision about something, usually as a small child, that we observed something and it looked like it, and we believed it to be true. And it's not the truth for us. It was some other adult had a belief that they were dealing with. Some other adult had a difficult time. And so they believe this, and they said something or they did something, and we took it on to be true. So now our work is to begin to release that and give ourselves a new thought to say, no, I'm not going to go there. What is the new thought I want to give myself? And in my book, I have tons of affirmations that people
yes.
can say
yes.
and new thoughts that they can give themselves. There's ways that they can journal to uncover these things, to release them, to forgive the past and release it, and what do I want to say? And to incorporate prayers and affirmations and scripture if you're Bible-oriented, and
yes.
Or using quotes from New Thought, inspired New Thought writers, that we're able to take on these new things and not be attached to what happened in the past or be attached to these old thoughts.
You know, it's funny. Just this morning, I was thinking about something that has been limiting to me. It is really odd, Christine, how sometimes things that seem really simple, I mean, maybe simple on the surface, are limiting in fairly big ways. And I will share one with the audience because I know I'm actually doing an event right now. I'm helping with an event in November, and I've gotten people telling me, oh, we're so happy that it's not downtown, because they have issues with driving downtown, women driving downtown by themselves. It's usually women driving downtown. You know, I started, and I actually feel that because I have shared this same thing. There can be the strangest, although they're not that strange, limitations that we cling to. Like, you know, I don't feel confident driving in certain places without a man. Here we go. And so I got to thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about my own teen, who's actually a boy, who's learning how to drive in some fairly challenging settings out here in Oregon. You drive in pretty
mm-hmm.
challenging settings. And actually, I'm really confident driving on those country roads, which are probably far more challenging than what I might encounter downtown. So I'm using this as an example of something that is really limiting me, Christine, like driving in a strange city and realizing, no, I have to get over this. I have to push through this, just like my son is learning how to drive, just because I've all my life had issues, maybe parallel parking or whatever. You know, they're little things. They hold me back. And it suddenly dawned on me that I can be just like my son and just learn. Put myself in, don't assume that I'm always going to be limited and afraid to do this thing. And I'm just using driving as an example in certain places. But there are other things like this, and they do hold us back. They may be holding me back from doing speaking appearances in other cities where I just go and get a car and I drive wherever I need to go and feel confident or whatever. And so can you speak to that? Do you see what I'm getting at? These details.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's one prayer that you can use. It's called the love prayer that I
yes.
learned from my teachers. And it's very simple, and it's connected with your breath. And what it's doing is it's bringing in the presence of love, and it's blessing the situation. So
mm-hmm.
you might say, connecting it with your breath. On the in-breath, I bless my driving. Mm. On the out-breath, I accept my driving. So
yeah.
I bless my driving, I accept my driving. I bless myself, I accept myself. I bless myself,
yeah.
I accept myself. I bless my driving, I accept my driving. So that you're, it's not about pushing yourself through something.
Yes,
but what is it that you want to, yeah,
yes,
what is it that you want to know instead?
Yes.
So it's not that we're that, and you said what we all do is I'm gonna push past this. I'm just gonna
yes.
make myself do this, and I'm gonna push past
yes.
it.
And
well,
that's the
wouldn't
wrong,
it be
yes.
more? Wouldn't it be more fun to be joy filled and
yeah
enlightened and to bring in that presence of God and of love and say, I know it is the presence of God's love that guides me.
Yeah.
And here, so one prayer is the love prayer. So it's continuing to do that. I bless myself, I accept myself. I bless myself, I accept myself. Because what you're doing is you're blessing, you're changing your own inner dynamic by saying that prayer. And it's not meant to change people outside of you, and you could do it for another person. If there's a person you're upset with, you know, say I'm saying it for you. I bless you, Susan. I accept you, Susan. So say whether I'm upset with you, whether you're going through a challenging time or whatever, for me to change my way of thinking is I bless you, Susan. I accept you, Susan.
Yeah. You know, I'm reflecting on my energy just shifted because this is such a good example. I hope people are listening to this because this is how, well, I know they are. This is how you work with people because I'm seeing you do it with me. I was quite agitated talking about my whole drive. You could tell this is something that agitates me a bit. And yes, pushing through and fight, you know, push yourself outside the comfort zone. And what you're saying, and I can already feel the peace of it, I'm starting to think, you know, how can I take joy? Like, there's a beautiful bridge in Portland. I'm starting to take joy in driving over this bridge. It used to scare me. I'm sure you know which bridge I'm talking about. It's really high. And
yes.
suddenly I'm realizing, you know, I know where to go. I know which highway to get on if I'm going to the convention center or wherever I'm going. And this has already started happening to me. Where I've started, you know, you have to be attentive while driving on the bridge, but I've started to take joy in being up on that bridge when before it used to scare me. And I think that that's it, part of it. And if I can bring the joy of, you know, what would it feel like to actually, you know, be in a space of being loved and supported and enjoy driving through this new city, you know, exploring this new city. Or, you know, I see it already. I can feel the shift, and suddenly, even in my own voice, I can feel I'm less stressed about it. You know, it's not as much of an issue. It's how do I expand into this in a joy-based way?
Exactly. What do you want instead?
It's
yes. the biggest question and the one that people have the most difficulty answering, because we can all identify what we don't want, but to
yes.
claim what it is we do want takes awareness and consciousness. So
you, know,
you just said it, that
I
want to have an experience of joy as I'm crossing this bridge. I know that I am guided, guarded, and protected. That
yes.
that when I travel, that spirit goes before me. I am guided, guarded, and protected. And I know
yeah.
that I travel my route, wherever it is that I'm going, I travel in joy, I travel in love. And that the presence of spirit goes before me. And there's a beautiful
yes.
prayer that I can send you if you want to post it on your
mm-hmm.
site or wherever.
I welcome it.
The light of God, and I may not know it all right now, but basically, the light of God surrounds me, the love of God enfolds me, the power of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is, and all is well. And so to have that prayer accessible to you so that you're able to say it, you're able to recite it, that I say that a lot when I'm driving, that to bring me into awareness that so many times there's close calls around me or something happens and I don't know where I'm going. And even the best GPS will send you to the wrong address.
It will.
I found.
So
it's having to use your internal GPS along with your external GPS. That you're affirming that, you're saying that, you're knowing that. And you said, what you said is exactly right, because what our emotion is energy in motion, and emotion is an indicator of a belief. So that when we become emotional about something, it's because we are believing about something. We're believing we have a truth about something. We have a belief about something, not a truth. It's a belief that there's a belief about something. And so if we can pay attention to that, we can uncover that belief, and then we can bring it to the surface and we can change it. We don't want to suppress it, but we want to give ourselves a new belief to take on. I grew up with the belief that there's not enough. I heard over and over from my family, from my parents, there's not enough. You can't have this. There's not enough to go around. There's not enough. So I just believed everything around that. There's not enough. There's not enough people. There's not enough time. There's not enough whatever. There's not enough. And so as I delved into this work and started working with this and bringing awareness to it, is I release my belief that there's not enough, but I claim the abundance of the universal abundance is available to me now.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it changes the shift, because we don't make ourselves wrong. That's part of loving ourselves. We don't make ourselves wrong, but we go, oh, there's that old belief again. It's popping up. That's not the truth. That's not the truth for me. That's a lie. But what I know is here's the truth for me.
Yes.
I live in an abundant universe.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, it was as if you read my mind, because my next question was actually going to be about abundance and money and how we so often, especially as women can and men too, I mean, both, we can all have, you know, we need to change our the way we think about abundance. And, you know, we hear it so much, and hearing it and actually embodying this as a way of being, you know, where we accept the abundance and don't feel in that space of lack. You know, like you said, you used to think all the time you didn't have enough. And even in this economy right now, people listening now, you know, that can be so common, and there can even be desperation. I mean, we really can get very fear-based way about it. And so I feel that, you know, just your voice is just so calming to help us embrace a more love-based, we are protected, we are being taken care of way of thinking about it, that we're always being taken care of.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, money is a difficult one, because money is so attached to our emotion.
Yes.
When we talk about money, we relate it to things that we use. We relate it to water, the flow of money. The and see, now I lost all my examples, but
that's okay.
If you think about it, we relate a lot of money to how we speak about water. Water is a symbol for emotions, and money is a very much connected with our emotions. money, if you gave a goat a $1 bill and a $100 bill, the goat would eat both of them. It has no discernment between the denominations. It's paper. But to us, we have a lot of attachment to whether the goat was eating the dollar bill or the $100 bill. So we have a lot of emotion connected with it. So that, again, if we could be aware of our emotions around money and find out what is the belief that it's tied to, we can begin to uncover that.
Yes.
And my story is, gosh, it's 20 years ago. It's hard to believe that. 20 years ago, I moved to Oregon, and I found myself $20,000 in debt. And with I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was in a part-time a temp job and with very little income. And I went to my spiritual teacher, and I said, I'm going to file bankruptcy. And she
yes.
said, well, you can do that. Or you can try using the principles that you've been studying all these years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my highest thought for getting out of this was to find a husband who was going to pay off my debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens to women a lot, is we look
mm-hmm.
for a man who's going to take care of it for us. And so I had nothing to lose. And so I followed the principles that I had been studying, all the things we're talking about today, having the awareness, building a spiritual foundation, speaking affirmatively, saying prayers and spiritual exercises that will change our thinking, being aware, working with a mentor, because we cannot do this work alone. We have to be working
yes.
with someone. I did all of those things, and it little by little, I just chipped away at it. And 6 years later, the week before I was ordained, I paid off the last, and it was all credit card debt. I paid off the last
yeah.
credit card payment. And later that year, I got married to my husband. So I
oh, wow.
had to resolve that for myself before I could move forward. That I need. So when I got married, it wasn't about money. It was about love. It wasn't
yes.
that I needed something from him. It was what I was bringing to the relationship, what I was bringing to the marriage. That's probably
yes.
a long answer to your question. But
no,
basically,
that's a wonderful story. Yes,
it's going back to the same thing we've been talking about since the beginning. In order to establish a foundation of love for ourselves, we have to let go of the negative thinking. We have to let go of those old thoughts and beliefs that we have, and we have to replace it with something new, that I am an abundant being. I am lovable and capable just as I am. I live in an awareness of love, that as we are able to establish that for ourselves, then when the things that we face, when we are faced with challenges, we have tools and techniques. And let me just say that the hardest thing to do is to try to build this when you're in the midst of something painful.
Yes.
That there are a lot of people that have faced a lot of hardship. And it's,
yes.
if you're not already doing this, it's really difficult to be in that place, because I've been there.
Yes.
That was, you know, for me, I had nothing, but I had done this work for many years that I could
yes.
lean on it and pull it back up and say, okay, I know these principles. I'm going to use these principles. So that's why it's important for us to establish this every day. In what we're doing is to build this foundation, is to build this clarity and this firmness and this presence of love.
Yes, yes, I love that. You know, so often in our lives we're told, you know, save money for a rainy day, and actually that's wise. However, what you're really saying, what do we really need to bank, in a sense, is when we're in a space of relative comfort, you know, we need, that's the time to really work on our spiritual practice so that it's there for us when we need it, because it's so important.
It is, and you said something really, really important, because there are physical laws of money that we must obey.
Yes.
That, yes, we need to create savings. We need to be aware of our bank account, what we've got in the bank. We need to be aware of our earnings. We need to be aware of our taxes. There are physical rules of money that we must know and obey. And there are spiritual laws of money. So if we can understand the spiritual laws of money, it helps create a foundation at the same time while we are listening to and obeying the physical laws of money. So you can't say that you're living in a spiritual realm around money if you're not willing to pay your taxes.
Yes.
You can't affirm abundance if you're not balancing your checking account and you're overdrawing all the time, or if you owe money to somebody. And that was the first thing I had to do when I was dealing with this, is I owed money to an organization that I didn't want to pay, and they forgot about it, and they didn't know about it. But I knew that I owed them money, and it was it was like $500, which was a huge amount of money for me. I wrote them a letter, and I said, I never finished paying this, and I want you to, here's my payment. And they actually wrote me back and thanked me for the check, and they said, never has anyone done that without receiving a bill.
Wow.
And I had to be clean about it in order for me to move forward.
Wow. That's a beautiful example.
That's what we have to pay attention to.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are people, and you know, I've seen this so much where it will energetically drain us if we know when something like that is happening. And, you know, I find it's getting interesting with me in the sense, I like if a cashier, you know, doesn't charge me the right amount or something, you know, maybe years ago I would have overlooked that. And now I feel it's energetic in nature. I mean, absolutely, I will say, you know, that is really whatever, you know, even if, and I'm talking about higher, not lower. And so there is something energetic. It has to do with honesty and integrity. And just energetic, I can't quite, now my words are failing me, but you captured something really important about how we navigate through the world.
I think what you're saying is we have to be conscious.
Yes.
And it's creating that consciousness within ourselves that we are going to be in integrity, we're going to have high positive regard for people, that we're going to live in a clean awareness. So, yes, the more we can do that, then we've created that foundation for us. We've created that awareness for us.
Yes, yes. And it's very much a part of the spiritual path. Now, I know... Gosh, we're running low on time, but there was another question I wanted to ask you, Christine, there's so many people who listen to this show who are self-employed, or they may be going out on new ventures. A lot of them are in the spiritual community or just in general. And so many times we feel unworthy in some way, like, I can't charge that. And sometimes we do overcharge. I think that can be a problem. To charge too much, but often the problem is charging too little or almost nothing, you know, just, and so there's something there with worthiness and love that I think many of us, and I can fall into this category too, need to address.
Yes, because we're afraid to ask, because there's this place of unworthiness. And that, again, it's going back and it's cleaning up whatever that old way of thinking is, whatever those beliefs are that we've been believing about ourselves. And if you have good intention, if you're offering a good quality for what it is that you're doing, that that you can ask for what it is that you want. It has to go back to, well, what am I believing, and what do I know about myself?
Yes.
We have to do our inner work and in order to be able to ask for it. And I've seen people, and actually there's a teacher that Jackie Peterson has written a book about this, and I can't think of the name of her book right now, but she works a lot with women on issues of asking for what you want in the world, of being
uh-huh.
able to ask. And I went to one of her talks, and when I left, I did that. I changed my fee schedule, but I also changed the way I presented it so that it was in a powerful, clear way of showing, here's what you are getting for this service. And
yes.
it changed how I saw it for myself. And so we have to do that inner work to know that we are capable, that we are offering a good service, that we are. And again, you can't do this alone. It's very hard to sit in your own chair, in your own place, and do this work, because we're faced with all these demons. We're faced with all these old beliefs that we're struggling with, and we can't get past them. But when you work with a coach or a mentor, and you're able to work with somebody to get past that, it makes a huge difference.
Yes. Well, you know, and then there's the classic, which I know comes out often, is if you're in the state of creating abundance, sometimes it's so easy to say, oh, but I can't afford a coach, or you know, I want to do this or that. And that, too, can be a negative way of thinking, is that if you're in a position where you need that mentorship or that assistance, and can manifest that, it seems like we need to think about these things differently as well, that we can bring into our lives the things that will help us to create.
Well,
more
if
abundance.
You knew this person has the that you have the potential of expanding your creating expansion for yourself, if you brought them into your circle, then you'd be creating the abundance. That there has to
right.
be some faith there. And here's the other thing, is I've had women that have come to me and said, I can't afford this, are you willing to work with me? And if they ask, I will always work with them. Some people will say, you know what, I can't afford what you're doing, and that's it, and they close the door. And if people ask, I will always honor it, because I
uh-huh.
know that they're willing. I know that they're willing, and they really want to do the work. They really want to deepen in their spiritual awareness. So
yes.
Ask for what you want.
Yes.
Ask for what you want.
Yes. Oh, that's
know what
that's
know what it
so
is
important.
You want, and ask for it.
Yes. Yes. That message alone is important in every possible way, it seems. I mean, that's so important. And we are now, I have so enjoyed, We're winding down, and actually I don't have another show to advertise right now because of I will be putting that out on frontierbeyondfear.com. I may be called for jury duty coming up. We'll see. And so I'm just kind of leaving the schedule open for the next shows. But let me tell you, Christine, I just have so enjoyed this. I could do so many shows with you, I feel like, every time you're on here. And I so would welcome you back. And
oh, so, Susan, it's always a joy to talk with you. And I think what makes your show so endearing and so exciting is you are so interested, that you bring a lot of interest and passion to that you're willing to use yourself as an example, and that you want the most for your listeners and the people that you work with. And so it's a joy to work with you, and I'd be happy to come back anytime, and I just admire what you're doing and acknowledge your willingness to put yourself out there and offer this great service for the community.
Oh, thank you so much. And I feel you're doing much the same. I want to remind people, sacredheartministries.net is where you can find Christine's work. And we're now entering into the podcast. We're not going to be cut off. But I wanted to get that out there for people. And, yes, I really am going to make a point, Christine, to bring you back on again sooner rather than later, because I just feel we can – we have a wealth of things to talk about here. I just feel that, you know, I so resonate with you. And I really, my experience has been, this is true of all of us. We are all going through things that others are going through as well. And I find that more and more. And people come and tell me that at seminars and different things, that I've expressed something, and I'm sure you have too, that they really relate to, and it's in our personal lives. We aren't perfect here on the radio. I'm certainly not. I'm working through all kinds of things, and I think it so helps to just be honest about some of the things we're working through, and people seem to appreciate that. Then they relate. So, are you still there? I want to make
yes,
sure you're
yes,
still
I'm
there.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a weird thing come up on my computer. I thought, I could be talking to the air here. But anyway, I appreciate how you put yourself out there and the various things you've gone through. It's about being vulnerable and talking about what we've also overcome openly, because we're all in this to help one another.
It's true, and we can use our own examples best. Because
yeah.
that everything I do, I feel like it's something that I've learned that I can share with somebody else. So it's a great way to use my experiences out in the world. And when you're a writer too. You
yeah.
see that everything is an opportunity to share spiritual principle.
Absolutely, absolutely, it really is.
Whether we're
and,
writing or speaking or teaching, it's everything is an opportunity for spiritual principles. So I watched it with the teachers that I've had, and so I've used that approach, and it makes people more willing and more open.
Yes.
For sure.
Very much
yes.
so. And I'm keeping you here for just a minute because the computer where I run this show actually is frozen. And so I'm either, we can end the show right now, but I won't be able to play the music that I normally do, or we can talk for a minute. It's just a strange thing. Been that kind of day. We had talked about this before the show. Technology is doing interesting things today. But I just allow it to do whatever it's going to do. But we're still on. We're just in the podcast right now.
Okay.
But
well,
anyway,
can I put in a plug?
Actually, this is a perfect time because many people do listen to this show. Far more people listen in the future. And I always welcome them, by the way, because they're with us. I feel their energy with us all the time. All the people listening to this show, you could be listening a year from now. And I welcome everyone at any time. So, yes, please do talk a little bit about your work if you like. This is your opportunity because, it's just coming back. But, yes, go right ahead because I'm gonna just ensure I've got my technology here working just fine. But yes, we're still
well.
Recording.
And just tell me if I need to stop. I just want to say
Go ahead.
My book is Authentic Spirituality: A Women's Guide to Living an Empowered Life, and I have a teleconference class that's available that's coming up in October, and it's open to wherever you are. You get to participate from the comfort of your own home. And it's called Embracing the Soul, and it's based on Anita Morjani's book, Dying to Be Me. And it's on 4 Mondays beginning on October 6th. And it starts at 6:30 p.m., and it's a teleconference class. When you enroll, then a number is sent to you. And it's going to be about not talking so much about it's not about illness and it's not about death, but it's about what do we need to know? What's the message from the other side about how to best live our lives? And so people can go to my website, www.sacredheartministries.net or .org. Either one will get you there.
Uh-huh.
And you can sign up right there for the class.
It sounds wonderful. In fact, I would love to get her on the show. It's funny. She keeps coming up, Anita. And I, you know how you say all you have to do is ask. I'm finding that more and more with guests. All I have to do is ask. And she is actually someone I am going to ask because I would just love to have her on the show. And I feel that your teleconference sounds very powerful because it's so interesting. Anita's thoughts, her quotes, are everywhere on Facebook. I'm on Facebook probably too much, like many of us, but I enjoy the wisdom that's out there. And I don't know if I've noticed, her thoughts propagate all over the internet. I mean, she's just has an amazingly powerful message that she's sharing.
She came back with a wonderful message and a wonderful mission with her life. And so
mm-hmm.
it's just, I'm very excited to work with her book. And
yes.
to share this information.
Yes.
So that
I'm
would be wonderful if you
that.
Get her on.
Yeah, if I can. Yeah, sometimes sometimes people aren't meant to come on, and if they don't, they don't. But it really is about asking. In fact, I know there are other hosts who are out there. I've been doing this show almost 4 years now. I'm almost to my 4-year anniversary in October.
Congratulations.
And oh, well, thank you. Thank you. And I love it. You can tell that I just so love to do this show. But I have found that things do synchronistically show up, but my continuing lesson is to ask. And I hope to do that more where, you know, I just don't hesitate to ask more best-selling authors. But always, I want to bring on a variety of people, always. My show is not about only bringing on, you know, the number one authors or whatever, because there's just so much wisdom out there to share. It's you know, there's so many different beautiful messages that are being shared out there. And once again, Christine, I'm just so appreciative that you've been here today, and I appreciate all that you're doing. And I would love to bring you on again. And it looks like my interface did come back. So so I probably am going to go ahead and close out the show today. But just, again, totally in gratitude. And you helped me today. You helped me and hopefully vicariously helped others as they were listening today.
That's wonderful. I am so grateful. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you. It's always a joy.
Oh, thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, and enjoy the day. It looks like the sun's coming out a little bit here. We're both in Portland area, although I enjoy the sun and the clouds. I think we're all kind of looking forward to a little rain, too.
That'll be great, too.
Yes, enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Blessings.
Blessings to you. Take care.
Bye.
So just a reminder to the audience, to learn about this show and all the shows, frontierbeyondfear.com. And although it's proceeding somewhat slowly, although everything happens in perfect timing, I am gradually getting to the point of putting shows together. So you'll be able to go to a page where all of Christine's shows are, because she's done a few with me. It's been a little while since she was on before, but I'd like to have them all in one place. And I am endeavoring to do that with the guests. It's just taking a little while, but we will get there because I feel that, you know, just so many wonderful messages are being shared here. And I'm hoping to find different ways of bringing them up and expanding the voice of the show and how it's reaching out as we do near the 4-year anniversary. And I encourage other Blog Talk Radio hosts or radio hosts everywhere on all these various networks that are arising, you know, if it brings joy to you, what you're doing with your show, keep at it, because it is a wonderful path to be able to bring inspiring messages to people. So with that said, I wish all of you a wonderful day, evening, whenever this show finds you out there, I am sending blessings to you, and I hope that you are feeling the love that surrounds and empowers you every single day, more and more, and that you too will work through, well, not work through, but will feel the love and the joy of expansion, expanding into those areas that maybe in the past have felt a little uncomfortable, and they don't need to feel that way. I am loving this message of embracing new paths, new ways of thinking about things in joy. Joy and in feeling that support of God, the universe, spirit, knowing that we are supported and protected as we step onto our paths in empowerment and authenticity. Thank you so much, everyone. ¶¶